Most people would not know the name of this English philanthropist and linguist who lived between 1735 and died in July 6, 1813. Probably wouldn't know his name. But he was a campaigner for the abolition of slave trade. He also involved himself to correct a lot of social problems during his day, social injustices, established colonies in Africa, the Sierra Leone Company, and he was one of the founding fathers of what is called the Freetown in Sierra Leone. But he was also a musician, talented musician, classicist, and he was also a biblical scholar. He read both the English and he read the Greek very well. As a result of reading that Greek, he came up with a certain rule that he set up, that he saw patterns, certain patterns in the New Testament, and he said, this is the way you should interpret these words. His name was Granville Sharp. Granville Sharp. And today, there is a rule in Greek grammar named after him. It's called the Granville Sharp Rule. And it goes like this. Here's the rule. When two nouns, except for proper names now, it can't be a proper name, like Cephas or John or Timothy or Paul, it can't. But when two nouns are in the same case and are connected by the word and, in the Greek the word is kai, two nouns in the same case connected by the word and the first noun has the definite article the in front of it, as in the Greek, there's many ways of saying the, okay? It has to match the case. It has to match the number and all that. But many ways. So if it has the word the in front of the first noun, connected by the word and the second noun does not have the definite article, then he says that the second noun would refer to the same person or thing that the first noun refers to and is a further description of that first noun. Okay? So here's what is called the Granville Sharp rule for Greek grammar in the New Testament. Let me give you an example. It's very simple once we illustrate it. Here's a passage I'm reading from Romans chapter 15 and verse 6. Romans 15, verse 6. And this is what it says. That with one accord you may with one voice glorify the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the Greek it says ton theon kai patera. The God, see, the God and Father. The first noun has the word the God, and Father. Now, when you see the God and Father, do you think God and Father are two separate people? No. You see, God and Father are referring to the same person, right? It's God, and he is the what? The Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Father of all of us. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul wrote, Romans 15 and verse 6. And that Greek has the first is a definite article, then you before the first noun, and no article before the second noun, the God and Father. You'll see it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, reading from the New American Standard Version. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father. when he has established all rule and all authority and power. He's going to hand over the kingdom to the God and Father. Okay? They're not two separate people, are they? It's God. Let me show you how the McDonald's idiomatic translation puts that to be sure you understand. He goes like this. Then comes the consummation when Christ will turn over the kingdom to Father God. So they interpret that phrase to Father God after vacating the administration of every sovereign, every authority, every power. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father. Okay. Ho Theos Kai Pater. That's in the more nominative case, dative case. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So we're talking about the same person, the God and Father. Here's the nominative case in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 31. It has to be in the same case. They're both in the same case. So here it is. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 31. The God and Father. We're talking about the same person, right? We're talking about the God who is also the Father. He's God and Father because it has the definite article, the God and Father, but there's no definite article before the word Father. Let me give you another example. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Speaking, who gave himself, Christ, of talking about Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of the present evil age, according to the will of the God and Father. And here's how the Greek translates that, if you were to translate it literally from the Greek, of the God and Father ours. But, you know, English translation, we always say, it's according to the will of our God and Father, but it's the God and Father ours in the Greek. But this, we're talking about the same person, right? God, who is our Father. Here's another example of the dative case. Called dative case is, you know, in English we have the subject, we have the subject, person who is a nominative case. We have the objective case. We have the subjunctive case. We have different cases in English. In Greek, they have the same different kinds of cases. In Greek, the nominative case is like the subject. You know, you're the subject. So-and-so is going to do this. The object is the dative case. If you do something to somebody, I hit Jim, or I hit John, or I spoke to John, it goes to John, he's the object of my speaking. It goes to John, okay? And that's the object of the speaking. So the dative case in the Greek is when you're doing something. Here's Ephesians, you'll see it here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to who we're giving the thanks to, that's the, they are the dative case, to God the Father. Okay? To Theo Kai Patri. He's God the Father. And it can be different cases, you see. To God the Father. Here's another dative case. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. We're giving this glory to God and the Father. So you see you see how that works, the Granville Sharp rule? It says if you have this statement, a noun, the noun is God, the God and Father. That's referring to the same person, and the word Father identifies what is God here. God is what? Father. And as I said, the McDonald idiomatic translation often translates that Father God. Here it is again in the genitive case. Now, what is the genitive case? It's like more of a possessive case. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, to Theou Kai Patros Humon. It's the God and Father ours. And they put the ours at the end of it. So, but Greek people understood it, to the God and Father ours. Well, we would say to our God and Father. To God and Father, to our God and Father, of our God, in the presence of our God and Father. But they're referring to the same person. One more example in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. Now may our God and Father, ho Theos kai pater humon, hamon, meaning the Father, the God and Father ours, himself and Jesus our Lord, direct our way to you. So it's God and Father. This is how it's done in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So he says, God and Father. Okay. Now here it comes for another phrase. How about the phrase Lord and Savior? It's exactly the same pattern. The Lord and Savior. Okay? The Lord with the and Savior. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Okay? The entrance into this kingdom of our Lord, the Lord and Savior ours, is the way the Greek would put it, the Lord and Savior ours. So, again, the Lord, who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who is also what? Savior. The Lord and Savior, referring to the same person, not two different people here. It's not Lord referring to the Lord God and Savior. It's not referring to the Father here. He's talking about, but in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is both Lord and he is Savior. So Lord and Savior refer to the same person, not to two different people. They are eagerly entangled therein and overcome. The last state of them will become worse than the first. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 now. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You always knew that. You knew when you read it automatically that the Lord, that God and Father referred to one person, God who is the Father. You knew that Lord and Savior referred to one person, Jesus Christ. He's both Lord and Savior. You knew that. Okay? And a lot of people know that. And there's hardly any dispute on that. Hardly any dispute. But I'm going to show you where there is a lot of dispute. Okay? All right, let's drop down now to Jude chapter 1 and verse 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long before marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and deny our only Master and Lord. Okay, now, the master and Lord. Deny, it would be, you know, the master and Lord ours in the Greek, the master and Lord ours, Jesus Christ. They denied our master and Lord. Now, master and Lord are the same person, right? He's the master. He's also the Lord. And who is he? What's his name? Jesus Christ. That's his name. It's interesting, in the New Testament, at first he was Jesus the Christ and so on and so on. And after a while, in the New Testament, his name just becomes Jesus Christ. Period. That's it. It just comes, says it. It doesn't, not the Christ, not Christ. If it's Jesus Christ, it's at the end of the New Testament, that's his name. Here's where the arguments, this is where they don't want the Granville Sharp rule. Many people who do not like this reject the Granville Sharp rule. I'm talking about Granville is his first name and Sharp is his last name. He was an eminent scholar, linguist, and philanthropist in England in the late 18th century and early 19th century. And by the way, the Granville-Sharp rule has stood over time with scholars after scholars after scholars going, why are you going to argue with it? He's the Lord and Savior. He's the God and Father. He's the Lord and Master, right? Nobody says that they're two different people, right? Here's where they want to abort that rule, right here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. By the righteousness of the God and Savior ours, Jesus Christ. The God and Savior ours. Oh! Well, no, they do not want Jesus to be called God here. So that can't be. That Granville Sharp rule can't apply here, can it? Not in this verse, should it? It's the same identical pattern as God and Father, Lord and Master, Lord, Lord and Savior. All of these were the same pattern, and this is the same pattern, but now all of a sudden, objection, 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 objection. They don't want that. And there are people who are just, that can't be. It's got to be the righteousness of our God, that's the Father, and Savior, that's Jesus Christ. But it's the exact same pattern. A definite article in front of the God, and no article in front of Savior. The God and Savior ours. And then they name him Jesus Christ. So here's the question. Does the New Testament call Jesus Christ God? Absolutely. And here it is. Now, so the terms God and Savior both refer to the same person, Jesus Christ. This is one of the clearest statements in the New Testament about the deity of Jesus Christ. One of the clearest statements, if you go by the Granville Sharp rule of Greek grammar. And here's the other place. Here it is. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Now one, and they're both have God and Savior. Here it is. Titus chapter 2 verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. Our great God. To megalou theou, kai soterios humon. That's the Greek word. Jesus Christ. Jesu Christu. Of the great God and Savior ours. Jesus Christ. There is the same pattern. The definite article in front of the God, Almighty, the great God. He put another adjective. The great God and Savior. Referring to the same person. It's the same person, Christ Jesus. The great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Let me read this in the English Standard Version. This is Titus 2:13. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our great God and Savior. Using the Granville Sharp rule, great God and Savior referred to Jesus Christ in this case. Now, it's not often that the New Testament uses the word God in referring to Jesus Christ. Most of the time, it's our God and Father. You remember, we saw a lot of those passages. Our God and Father, our Lord and Master, our Lord and Savior, and so on. Our God and Father of our, and in this case, our God and Father of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God, so there's a Father God, and there is what? A Son God, right? Not S-U-N, but the Son. God the Son, right? We have those two. And they are both, use the word theos with them. Theos, meaning God. So Jesus Christ is God. So anybody asks you, they come up and they say, well, you know, there's no place in the New Testament where Jesus is called God. That's not true. 2 Peter 1:1, okay? Titus 2:13, specifically. Now, there's other places, like in Hebrews, where it says, you know, he says to the Son, you know, what does he say to the Son? Oh, you know, God, thy throne, O God, he says to the Son in Hebrews. We've seen that. But these specifically, based on that Granville Sharp, Mr. Granville Sharp, a very intelligent guy who studied linguists and who studied the Greek language and who was a biblical scholar, said that when you have the definite article, the God, okay, what's it say? The God and Savior. It's the God and Savior, but there's no definite article. Now, if it had said the God and the Savior, then you would have said those are two separate people. If it would have, the definite article had been in front of the God and then another one in front of the Savior. So then, or the God and the Master, the Lord and the Master, then you are talking about two different people when they have the definite article. So now we have the study of the New Testament. We have confidence in the New Testament, and we have confidence in the deity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we read this passage in the book of John, we know that it is correct. Let's read it. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what it says. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. That's how great he was. He was responsible for all creation, the trees of the forest, the mitochondrial stuff underneath it, all the things that we see, everything that we are. All our brains and all the cells and all the things. Nothing came into being without him. Apart from him, nothing came into being that came into being. In him was life. And the life, his life, was the light of the world. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness, unfortunately, did not comprehend it. You and I, if we have Jesus Christ in us, that light is still shining. But I can guarantee you, for the vast majority of people, people who don't care, vast majority of the world, they don't comprehend that light. They didn't do it then, and they didn't do it now. But one day that light will shine in a way that nobody can resist. Nobody can stop. And every knee will bow before that light. Every tongue will confess to that light, because that light is our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.